Hello, everyone. This is Bud Waite.
And Marion Richmond with A Book of Verse.
Don Paris is seated at the organ, and we hope you'll enjoy this quarter hour of words with music. To have seen what I saw on my way to the village through Patterson's pasture today. Blueberries as big as the end of your thumb, real sky blue, and heavy, and ready to drum in the cavernous pail of the first one to come. And all ripe together, not some of them green and some of them ripe. You ought to have seen.
I don't know what part of the pasture you mean.
You know, where they cut off the woods. Let me see, it was 2 years ago. Oh, no. Can it be no longer than that? And the following fall, the fire ran and burned it all up, but the wall.
Why, there hasn't been time for the bushes to grow. Oh, that's always the way with the blueberries, though. There may not have been the ghost of a sign of them anywhere under the shade of the pine. But get the pine out of the way. You may burn the pasture all over until not a fern or grass blade is left, not to mention a stick. And presto, they're up all around you as thick and hard to explain as a conjurer's trick.
It must be on charcoal they fatten their fruit. I taste in them sometimes the flavor of soot. And after all, really, they're ebony-skinned. The blue's but a mist from the breath of the wind, a tarnish that goes at the touch of a hand, and less than the tan with which pickers are tanned.
Does Patterson know what he has, do you think?
Oh, he may, and not care. And so leave the Chewink to gather them for him. You know what he is. He won't make the fact that they're rightfully his an excuse for keeping us other folk out.
I wonder you didn't see Lauren about.
The best of it was that I did. Do you know, I was just getting through what the field had to show, and over the wall and into the road, when who should come by with the democratic load of all the young chattering Laurens alive but Lauren, the fatherly, out for a drive.
He saw you then. What did he do? Did he frown?
Oh, he just kept nodding his head up and down. You know how politely he always goes by. But he thought a big thought. I could tell by his eye, which, being expressed, might be this in effect. I've left their berries shrewdly suspect ripen too long. I'm greatly to blame.
Oh, he's a thriftier person than some I could name.
Well, he seems to be thrifty. And hasn't he need, with all the mouths of all those young Laurens to feed? He's brought them all up on wild berries, they say, like birds. They store a great many away, you know. They eat them the year round. And those they don't eat, they sell in the store to buy shoes for their feet.
Oh, who cares what they say? It's a nice way to live. Just taking what nature's willing to give, not forcing her hand with harrow and plow.
I wish you had seen his perpetual bow. The air of the youngsters. Not one of them turned, and they look so solemn, absurdly concerned.
I wish I knew half what the flock of them know, where all the berries and other things grow. Cranberries in bogs, and raspberries on top of the boulder-strewn mountain, and when they will crop.
Mm-hmm.
I met them one day, and each had a flower stuck in his berries as fresh as a shower. Some strange kind. They told me it hadn't a name.
Well, I've told you how once, not long after we came, I almost provoked poor Lauren to mirth by going to him of all people on earth to ask if he knew any fruit to be had for the picking. The rascal, he said he'd be glad to tell if he knew. But the year had been bad. There had been some berries, but those were all gone. He didn't say where they'd been. And he went on, I'm sure, as polite as could be. He spoke to his wife in the door. Let me see, ma'am. We don't know any good burying place. It was all he could do to keep a straight face.
Well, if he thinks all the fruit that grows wild is for him, he'll find he's mistaken. See here, for a whim, we'll pick in the Patterson's pasture this year.
All right.
We'll go in the morning, that is, if it's clear, and the sun shines out warm. The vines must be wet. It's so long since I picked, I almost forget how we used to pick berries. We took one look around, then sank out of sight like trolls underground, and saw nothing more of each other or heard, unless when you said I was keeping a bird away from its nest and I said it was you. Well, one of us is. For complaining, it flew around and around us. And then for a while we picked, till I feared you'd wandered a mile and I thought I'd lost you. I lifted a shout too loud for the distance you were, it turned out, for when you made answer, your voice was as low as talking. You stood up beside me, you know.
You know, we shan't have the place to ourselves to enjoy. Not likely, when all the young Laurens deploy. And they'll be here tomorrow, or even tonight. They won't be too friendly. They may be polite. To people they look on as having no right to pick where they're picking. But we won't complain. Ah, you ought to have seen how it looked in the rain. The fruit mixed with water in layers of leaves, like two kinds of jewels. A vision for thieves. I don't know how it happened. All I know is there were many faces. Then your face. Out of the din of voices, yours. So low. Someone had said your name and mine. The place that had spelled boredom was enchanted now, and we sought solitude where we could talk. We left, but I cannot remember how we found ourselves together on the walk that had been but a walk an hour ago, or how we found our way to that far peak up where the stars are close and clean winds blow, and dawn sends forth her first pink-tinted streak. I only know rain fell and your hair curled, whose voice will haunt me far across the world.
The road we followed led us to a hill. Hands clasped, we mounted toward the morning sun. When the wooded summit had been won, we laughed together as young lovers will. You drew me slowly close to you, till our first kiss told what mischief had been done. Pan prompted you, but no syrinx bade me run to be a clump of reeds beside a rill. My heart recalls the budding pawpaw tree, the whistle that you whittled out for me. The hill, the tree, the toy are lost for aye. But always, darling, when the year brings May, I cross my heart, because we have arranged somehow to keep the love that we exchanged.
Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong. And kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears.
Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can.
Then, while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with low bowed head. Oh God, make me a child like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting thee with faith sincere. And now it's time to close the book of verse and say goodnight. Don Ferris supplied the organ interludes on this quarter hour of Words with Music. And the poems you heard were Blueberries by Robert Frost, I Don't Know How It Happened by Nova Dorman, May Road by Annette Patton Cornell, and Two Prayers by Andrew Giles. This is Bud Waite
and Marion Richman
wishing you all good luck
and good listening.
This program was produced by Roger Rooney with the cooperation of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee and the American Federation of Musicians. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.